Welcome to tonight's InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Melissa Melton, and here's what we have in store for you tonight, this Friday, November 16th, 2012 edition.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, as the session gains momentum, local residents offer their thought on this political phenomenon. Then, the TSA opt-out and film campaign is days away and gaining national attention. And tensions are high as Israel and Hamas continue their deadly theater. All that in the GMO Roundtable, coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
As many of you who tuned in to yesterday's radio show heard, Alex has now called for a second American revolution, a peaceful revolution led by states who would secede from the federal government to reconstitute our republic under the terms of our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights, and the Constitution. The White House has now received petitions from all 50 states, totaling a million signatures. And Alex has said, we are not calling for secession to form new separate countries. We are calling for secession because the states created the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and federal government, and the federal government itself has been hijacked by foreign special interests. I am calling for people to be educated about how we can secede to restore our republic. And he also went ahead to warn about how the mainstream media would try to downplay this and characterize it in a negative light, which we've already seen happen, as in our next story by Steve Watson. Secession proponents do not want a civil war, and no, they cannot be stripped of their firearms. And he goes through to mention that Diane Roberts of the London Guardian said that those who want secession just want to reenact the Civil War, that they are white supremacists or fundamentalist zealots and sore losers, and that the idea of secession has zero legal status and the 10th Amendment is basically null and void. Glenn Beck also jumped on that bandwagon, calling anyone who signs a petition dumb and just trying to advocate a violent uprising. And even GOP governors are now distancing themselves from the secession movement. We have a spokeswoman for Rick Perry saying that he believes in the greatness of the Union and that nothing should be done to change it. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal called the petition silly. Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam said he doesn't think it's a valid option. Alabama Governor Robert Bentley said that while he recognizes there's frustration with our federal government, he believes that states can be great laboratories of change. I'm not really sure how that's supposed to happen. I guess we're supposed to hope for change, hope and change, because obviously nothing has changed in the way we've been currently doing things. And finally, Republican Governor of South Carolina. And finally, South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley said, I love this country. I'm going to fight for this country. And I think there's a distinction there because she didn't say, I love these people, I'm going to fight for the people in my state. She specifically said, I'm going to fight for this country to keep it in. Now, constitutionally speaking, secession is an option for a government that has overreached. And I think Joel Wolverton of The New American sums it up really well when he says, a growing number of concerned citizens of this republic are no longer willing to recur to Congress to repeal unconstitutional laws or to file legal complaints in the hope the courts will strike down offensive measures. They understand that while perhaps commendable, these tactics are futile and offer no guarantee of the restoration of constitutionally assured freedom. They refuse to wait on this or that president, this or that congressman, this or that political party to acknowledge our pleas from federal oppression. Now, last night, David Ortiz went out on the streets to ask American citizens what they thought of the secession movement. Here's his report.
Patriots mobilizing or Republicans acting like sore losers? That's the question many are asking themselves today as reports continue to come in that show over 600,000 Americans representing every U.S. state have signed petitions requesting that their state secede from the Union. Despite the fact that several governors have voiced their disapproval of the idea, the petitions are a definite reminder that the country remains politically divided.
Now, what do you imagine when you hear the word secession?
I mostly think of the Rick Perry phenomenon of a couple of years ago where he suggests secession, and actually now I hear he's kind of saying about this movement that although he disagrees with the federal government, that it's not viable, even though a couple of years ago he suggested it himself.
Well, I'm not quite sure what that means?
I mean, it's obviously heavily reminiscent of Civil War era, which is, you know, doesn't really remind you of good things.
It's going to be even worse when we move from the United States, because then we're going to be held accountable for our own border patrol and all that. Okay. And drugs going to get bad. All that is going to get bad for society in Texas, period. Going to be a bunch of crime.
The White House is expected to comment on this issue in the near future since several signature thresholds have been met. Congressman Ron Paul calls the idea of secession an American ideal.
Do you think calls to secede from the Union are un-American?
I mean, I think that the American way is, you know, essentially to... America was founded on people kind of like, you know, being discontent with a certain type of government and then making their own. So I think that that would essentially be American.
No, they're definitely not un-American. I don't think that it's necessarily the best thing for, you know, Americans or the Americans in the states that want to secede, but it's not un-American. I mean, it's, like I said, it's in the Declaration of Independence, so.
Well, yeah. Because they're trying to secede from the states, right? So, I mean,
it's not an American thing to not want to be an American anymore. Yeah.
Just everything about America is all like, we're in this together. You know, we've advanced this far together sort of thing. But now it's like, if you try and leave, then it's like, I think I can make it on my own or whatever, and it's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to work out.
Is our country run by Congress or by global bankers?
I don't know. There's a lot of seen and unseen things covered in the media, so I can't really answer that for sure.
I would say it's primarily run by, you know, global financial interests and, you know, just capital interests, generally speaking, like multinational corporations. And, you know, the banking and financial institutions, pretty dominantly for sure, like a lot of, like, you know, the IMF and things like that. Our country, as well as many other countries, their policies are dictated by, you know, IMF and Federal Reserve policy and stuff. Yeah, more than probably Congress.
We can acknowledge that it's not just congressmen's minds at work here, but I think that there's still something to be said for what they're doing.
Reporting for InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Ortiz.
Now, I would just like to point out that this country has been taken over. It's been taken over by foreign megabanks. It's been taken over by globalists. And to secede from this nation is not to destroy it. It's to restore it. It's our only option to restore it. And in my opinion, the reason the White House hasn't come forward to address this issue is because the corrupt entities behind the White House do not want to acknowledge the fact that we have this ability, that we have the right to secede, to take back our country, and to restore our republic. And we can do this. We can take our country back. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just a saying around here. The answer to 1984, the answer to the NDAA saying they can whisk us away without due process, the answer to 30,000 drones in our skies, the answer to the TSA reaching down our pants and telling us we have to be slaves to this government, the answer to 1984, ladies and gentlemen, very much is 1776. And we have a right to do this, and we have a right to take our country back. Moving on. As many of you have seen in the news, the Gaza conflict is hot. There's a militant rocket that had targeted Jerusalem. It didn't hit the Jerusalem parliament. It actually hit outside the city. But Hamas militants have been blamed. And while Israel conducts combat operations against Hamas in Gaza, they are also equally supporting affiliates in Syria, as Tony Cartolucci points out in his article, Israel versus Hamas Deadly Theater. And he notes a West Point report called Bombers, Bank Accounts, and Bleed Out, Al-Qaeda's Road In and Out of Iraq, which gives insight into just how NATO and the Persian Gulf states are using Al-Qaeda to destabilize Syria, and how these same interests are most likely funding, arming, and manipulating Hamas. And we saw this during 9/11 when the towers were struck and it was blamed on Al-Qaeda. And yet years later, our government is openly funding that same exact Al-Qaeda that supposedly committed the worst crime in American history on American soil. But now we're funding them in Libya to overthrow their government for our ends, and now in Syria as well. So moving on. The TSA opt-out in Film Week is now garnering national attention as consumer advocate Chris Elliott has thrown his support behind a Just Say No initiative with these invasive screenings. and pointing out the fact that airport body scanners pose a major health threat, are useless at detecting foreign objects, have not caught a single terrorist, and represent an unconstitutional violation of our privacy. Elliott emphasizes that in order to end the warrantless scans for good, we need to stand up and at the same time say no, even after opt-out week ends. And we need to do it until the TSA changes the way that it screens us. The TSA has proven that it's basically to condition us to government control. It's to condition us that they can come in, invade our privacy, and invade our pants. And they've never even caught a single terrorist. Not a single terrorist, not one time. And there have been multiple reports out that have shown that these body scanners they make us walk through actually increase our chances for cancer. They actually can cause you to get cancer. So if you actually do the math on that, you have the same chances of dying from a terrorist attack as you would from getting cancer from one of these screeners that is supposed to actually save you from terrorists. It absolutely makes no sense. And I don't know how that's keeping anybody safe to potentially give you cancer. So, once again, more government control. And speaking of government control, carbon taxes are back in the news this week. And so is Al Gore. And I decided to actually file this special report on it. I'm Melissa Melton reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. Well, the U.S. carbon tax is back on the table, and if Al Gore has his way, it's coming soon to a bank account near you. Following on the heels of Hurricane Sandy and the re-election of President Barack Obama, the Congressional Budget Office this week released a report all about how low-income families can now afford a carbon tax. Conservative and liberal think tanks alike have jumped on the bandwagon, hosting all-day panels on the topic and putting out white papers. And right on time, here comes Al Gore openly calling on President Obama to institute a carbon tax to save us all from the fiscal cliff budget crisis. In addition, Gore also premiered another 24 hours of reality, a dirty weather report.
Across the globe, cataclysmic weather events are occurring with such regularity that it's being called a new normal. But there's nothing normal about it. And there's something else that lies destroyed amid the rubble. The truth about climate change.
Where he urges people to go to his Climate Reality Project website to sign up to, quote, change the world by becoming an Al Gore climate leader, educating people on Gore's brand of environmentalism. The website actually says, climate change is not your fault for the car you drive, the lights you turn on, or the food you eat. The climate crisis is our problem. So apparently we can all fix our problem together. All we have to do is pay Al Gore carbon taxes. Now, if climate change could be attributed to the lights you turn on, as Gore puts it, perhaps he would be at the top of the list, considering in just 1 year, his mansion used 250,000 kilowatt hours, amounting in $30,000 in utility bills. Utility bills Gore will easily be able to pay if carbon taxes go through, as he stands to make billions. As InfoWars has extensively reported, man-made global warming is a hoax. It's based on shady science that's propagated to institute a one-world government through money-making schemes like cap-and-trade and carbon taxes. Maybe Al Gore thinks if he repeats this scare mantra over and over again, we'll finally believe it and pay him some carbon taxes. Now, on a side note, do you remember the 1990s environmental cartoon Captain Planet? In it, five youths from all across the globe called Planeteers would get together to fight pollution and capitalism, and when their powers combined, it would summon Earth's greatest champion, Captain Planet, a magical blue guy with a green mullet who would come in to save the day and tell kids the power is yours when it came to saving the Earth.
Your powers combined. I am Captain Planet!
You have to wonder, was Captain Planet some kind of globalist propaganda programming on a massive scale? As the elementary and middle school students who used to come home from school and watch Captain Planet on TV every day are now the adults who turn on the TV every day that tells them that man-made global warming is killing the Earth and so is overpopulation, and only they can do something to fix it. And what's more, does Al Gore somehow think he's the real-life Captain Planet? I mean, after all, he's swooping in to save the Earth with his carbon taxes, and the UN even named him Champion of the Earth in 2007, much like Captain Planet is called Earth's greatest champion. In addition, Gore's website tells us that by uniting our voices, we have the power to change the world, just like Captain Planet says, with your powers combined, before he saves the planet. And after all, yesterday's Captain Planet Planeteer wannabes now have the opportunity to become today's Al Gore climate leaders. Well, ladies and gentlemen, once again, the power is yours to save the Earth. And according to Al Gore, all you have to do is pay him some carbon taxes. I'm Melissa Melton for InfoWars Nightly News. Now, I just want to point out, we're constantly told all the time here at InfoWars that we're trying to argue climate change doesn't exist. And that's silly, because obviously the climate has always changed since the history of the Earth, just like the wind always blows. No one here is trying to argue the climate doesn't change. But they changed global warming to climate change on purpose to have a semantics argument, because they knew they couldn't prove the globe was actually warming, but then no one could actually argue against climate change. What we're arguing is that man-made climate change is basically a tactic to ensure a one-world government and enslave us with things like cap and trade and carbon taxes. Now, moving on, the Natural Society has posted an article about the defeat of Prop 37, as activists are actually starting to label GMOs themselves. It says if the government will not side with 90%+ of consumers who are in favor of GMO labeling, they're just going to do it themselves. And we know that Proposition 37 was defeated because all of these big agri companies got together and spent $50 million to defeat it with disinfo campaigns and telling you that it's going to save your family there in California $400 a year while they're spending millions to do so, hiring firms to come up with fake reports to tell you that. And it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But I think what this just proves once again, ladies and gentlemen, is that the government is not here to protect us. They're not here to protect us. So we're going to have to do it ourselves. And that's what these activists are trying to do. And I think it's a great thing. And I definitely hope that it gains some steam. Now, in just a short moment, we're going to throw to David Knight, who did an interview with Representative David Simpson from the Texas legislature, who has introduced a bill to stop the TSA from sexually harassing people. But first, I'd like to read the quote of the day. When a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. That's from the Declaration of Independence, and I urge everyone to go back and revisit that document, share it with your friends and family, and think about what led up to them writing that. And then think about where we are today, because do you want to continue to live under this encroaching corruption and tyranny? I mean, how much worse are things going to continue to get? We have an option. We're at a crossroad here with the secession movement, and we have a chance to take this republic back. Do we want to live under corruption and tyranny, or do we want to fight for our freedom? Do we want to fight for our liberty? So I say we choose the latter. Now on to David Knight.
Well, thank you, Melissa. I don't know about you folks, but I want my freedom and dignity back. You know, the federal government is making it a prerequisite to travel that you have to be subjected to humiliation and sexual assault at the airports. They're taking the right to move about freely, and they're trying to change that into a privilege that's granted only if you submit yourself to unnecessary humiliation. Where are the federal our federal representatives on this? Where are our congressmen? Where are our senators? There's not any that I know of. But fortunately, here in Texas, we have some men with some backbone on this issue. And the leader on that is Representative David Simpson from Longview, Texas. And I've got him on the phone right now. Representative Simpson, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes.
Thank you, David.
Can you tell us a little bit about the bill that you've just put in? It's House Bill 80, I believe?
That's correct. We're calling it the Texas Freedom Travel Act. It makes it an offense to touch someone's private part as a condition of getting into a area accessing public transportation or a venue, and it just says you can't go to third base without a reason. Mm-hmm. You have to have probable cause. You have to have believe someone's committing a criminal act to treat them as a criminal. Mm-hmm. So we want to just the government to leave us alone unless we've done something wrong or we believe we are.
That's a key thing, because what's behind all of this is that we're being all treated as if we were terrorists or criminals, as if they've got some kind of a reason to be suspicious of us. You know, they don't have to have, they presume that they don't have to have a search warrant, that they don't have to have, like you said, probable cause. We basically lost our innocent until proven guilty assumption here. Now we're all guilty until they prove that we're innocent. Is that correct?
That's right. We're continuing to receive assaults on the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, which our founding fathers were very concerned about, and the Fourth Amendment is one in particular that's under assault.
Mm-hmm. Now, this brings up an interesting conflict between the federal government, and we're seeing this on a number of issues. There were a lot of states that passed initiatives that would limit the Obamacare mandate. There were states that passed initiatives on medical marijuana, even marijuana legalization. And we've seen over and over again that the federal government just disregards the wishes of the people and the wishes of the states. They completely disregard the Tenth Amendment, just like they do much of the rest of the Constitution. Now, we tried this, you tried this 2 years ago. Tell us what happened at that time.
Well, the bill received bipartisan support in both chambers. It passed unanimously on both second and third reading in the House, then was sent to the Senate, and then the Department of Justice threatened to make Texas basically a no-fly zone, to shut down a flight or series of flights. And that's just an outrageous threat. We have planes coming in and out of Texas all the time that are not people are not being searched in this way. And then the bill was brought to the floor after that threat was made, and the initial support that we had, which was nearly every senator, dissipated so that we couldn't overcome the procedural hurdle to move the bill forward. But then the lieutenant governor did call it in the special session. In fact, he did it on the night that the special session was called. And then the governor, about two-thirds of the way through, did call the bill. Regrettably, the bill was delayed for a week coming to the floor, and it had already gone through committee. The Senate passed the bill, and then the House passed the bill. The Senate adjourned, didn't take up our bill, and I had to procedurally substitute the House bill, the Senate bill. I lost a few votes, and when it was the bill was politicized, and was unable to reach the 4/5 necessary to move the bill forward on third reading when we just passed it on second reading. But I do believe the people of Texas are behind the bill, and I've received encouraging words from some of the leadership of our state that the bill is going to be move quickly, and that's encouraging to me.
Well, that's great. You know, it's not just the people of Texas. There's people all over the country that were watching that last time and were supporting you on that. And as you said, it was a total outrage that the federal government would try to blackmail us over that. You know, if you remember 2 years ago around Thanksgiving, right after they'd rolled these machines out, we organized a opt-out campaign for the busiest travel day of the year. And the TSA blinked. They shut the machines down. So, you know, we're coming back this time. 2 years later, we've got an opt-out and film campaign, and this time we're doing it for a week. Because they tried to back down on that. You know, people are fed up with this, and all over the country, people are fed up with this. I really do hope that the Texas legislature, that all of them will get some backbone this time and call their bluff. There's absolutely no way they're going to be able to shut down all travel in and out of Texas.
Well, that's right, and we just should not submit to something that's unconstitutional. We should refuse to give them that right to touch us in that way, unless we've committed a criminal act or they believe we have. But if we're just seeking to travel, to go visit our loved ones. And this bill, too, is a little bit improved in that it won't allow you to, the TSA or anybody, to separate a child from a parent. There was one autistic boy that was separated from his parents, and he, when he was being touched in this intrusive way, he began to cry out, "Man on boy, man on boy." It's just, as a young child who's taught that this is indignant and not supposed to be done can figure this out, why are we allowing our federal government to do this?
Yes.
And we shouldn't go along with it as a state and support it.
That's right. That's right. That's why I said at the beginning, I want my freedom and my dignity back. You know, this is, I think this is just nothing more than just behavioral conditioning. If you look at B.F. Skinner, that's exactly what he was suggesting. He was suggesting that we be conditioned to not look for freedom or for dignity. And there's so many things that they're doing now, the TSA, as part of their so-called security procedures. I mean, going in and sampling people's drinks that they have purchased after they've already gone through security. They've purchased it from vendors who have been tested, that sort of thing, telling everybody they have to freeze in the airport. I mean, this is going beyond all reason. This is nothing more than just behavioral control.
That's right. And they're not law enforcement agents. We should refuse to submit to those things.
That's right. That's right. Yes, they're not sworn law enforcement agents either. Well, I certainly hope you get this through. We will do everything we can to get your cause out there and get the word out. And we hope that people all over the country will be supporting you and the members of Congress, members of the Texas legislature, to try to put this through.
Well, and thank you for getting out the word. This is one of the many freedoms that's under attack. One of my favorite parts of our Texas Constitution is Article 1, Section 1. It says, Texas is a free and independent state, subject only to the United States Constitution. And then it goes on to talk about the importance of local self-government and preserving that. And when it's not, when it's impaired, it threatens the union, perpetuity of the union. And so this is critical for not only our state, but for our whole nation, that we do not put up with tyranny.
Yes. Yes. You probably have noticed these petitions that are going around at the White House. There's 50 petitions in every state saying that they would like to secede, and a lot of these have passed the White House review threshold. And it's, I think, a sign of people's disgust with the absolute arrogance out of Washington, that they don't listen to the voices of the people, they don't listen to the states, and they do whatever they wish, no matter, you know, if people pass a medical marijuana law, or they pass something against the Obama mandates, or they pass something that says that you can't sexually assault us without cause. I mean, they're just incredibly arrogant anymore, and I think this is kind of a shot across the bow to Washington, that people have had enough.
That's right. And we must refuse as a state to carry out their business for us.
Yes.
One of the programs was Bus Safe in Houston, where they were going to randomly search people's handbags and interrogate them on municipal buses. And what was crazy about it is the Houston PD and our state law enforcement, they would never do that except under the color of the TSA.
Yes.
That doesn't give us any right to not follow the Constitution. We must refuse to follow those who would not uphold the Constitution.
Yes. And if we don't do that, it's going to set a precedent. So they'll start doing this on bus stations. They'll start doing it on highways. They'll probably go to shopping malls. I mean, you know, this is not the Airline Security Administration. This is a Transportation Security Administration, and all these bureaucracies want to expand their power. And once they do it, as you mentioned, they're going to corrupt local law enforcement and state law enforcement to start treating us like criminals in the same way. Well, Representative Simpson, I sure appreciate you talking to us. Thank you for taking the lead on this, and we are all watching you to see what happens, and we're all supporting you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David, and thank the people of Texas. They're going to be the ones that move it forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to be going to break now, and Dan Badani is going to recap the week, and then after that, we'll come back.
Hi, this is Dan Badani for the InfoWars Nightly News, and this is a weekly recap of our top headline news. First, we got a bioethicist argue for the right to seize newborns' blood and global database. Now, folks, Alex Jones has been telling you for years, the hospitals have been taking your child's DNA from 1965 till now without parental consent nor knowledge. What they do is they prick the heel of the child with a lancet, and they put blood dabs on this card that goes into a government database. And I think this is evasion of privacy, evasion of all human rights, if you ask me. And another headline news, just in time for Christmas, a controversial breastfeeding doll. This is disgusting, folks. And it says, move over, Bobby and Betsy, Wetsy. There's a new doll in town, the breast milk baby wearing a pastel pink onesie and the little knit cap. It's cute, cuddly, and a huge hit in Europe. But American retailers are having a hard time warming up to the doll that burps, cries, and makes suckling noises when held up to the breast of the little girls. Now, folks, can you imagine? You're walking through a mall, a shopping center, even the beach, and this little girl, innocent that she is, she lifts up her shirt and puts her doll to her nipple. I mean, this is pure pedophilia, folks. This is disgusting. I mean, if any parent out there to get your daughter that doll, I mean, you need psychological help. You are seeing right now in history the sexual exploitation of young children. I mean, this goes on to pedophilia, dolls, as you just seen, as toys, video games, and so on, even that disgusting trash bag show called Toddlers and Tiaras, how they sexually exploit little girls, and it is badly disgusting, folks. And speaking of disgusting, Big Sister Janet Napolitano to monitor Facebook, Twitter for bioterrorism and pandemics. That's right, Homeland Security wants to know if you have a bad cough. And the Department of Homeland Security says that it plans to monitor your personal Facebook status, updates, and Twitter posts claiming that evidence of bioterrorism attacks and pandemic virus outbreaks could be contained within them. So, folks, again, more intrusion of your rights. This is a direct Fourth Amendment violation, folks. No warrant. They're going to go into your Facebooks, as they openly claimed before, that they're monitoring all your social networks. And those for you who live in San Diego, you could get up to 6 years in jail for washing your car or not picking up your dog's poop. This is reported from Infowars.com. San Diego residents face 6 years in prison for washing their car. A new environmental water rules enforced by citizen snitch program. That's right, folks, another citizen snitch program. As you're seeing with the iPhones, they have the Patriot app and so on to snitch on your neighbors. They're turning the American people into the citizen spy. And the article goes on to say that San Diego citizens could face 6 years in prison and fines up to $100,000 for washing their car in the driveway or failing to pick up the poop from the dog under new EPA mandate environmental regulations related to water quality. Now, as you scroll through the article, you got to see right here, the regulations will be enforced with the aid of a 24-hour snitch line. That's right, snitch line, which residents of San Diego, South Orange, and Southwest Riverside counties can use to report on their neighbors for violating the new code. Again, a 24-hour snitch line, and report your neighbor, because you're supposed to spy on your neighbors, folks. It is ethical. It is your duty as a citizen in the New World Order, you to spy on your neighbors, you see suspicious activity, you see something, you say something. Now moving on to the economy, gun stores report 400% surge in sales after Obama re-election. Now we've been telling you folks that the sales of guns have been going through the roof. Obama and the UN want your guns. Obama wins another 4 years, guess what? He's coming after your guns, as openly stated in one of his debates. The nation is now coming together. We have petitions going all over the country now from all 50 states, reports the Examiner.com. Petition to secede from the union hits 50 states. GOP governors disagree. We're not seceding from the United States. We're seceding from the New World Order. And as Alex Jones has openly called, a revolution against the New World Order. And people, we need to get more and more people together. We need to make this viral. We need to sign more petitions and let the globalists know we are not going to take it no more. We're going to stand up against your tyranny, and we're going to defeat you. You know, our cards are all on the table now. We're going to push stronger, faster, harder than we ever did. And Infowars.com, and this is a message to you, all you corrupt scum who serve the New World Order, we are coming for you. That's right. We are declaring an information war against you, the elite. And we are going to defeat you. And I am sick of it. I'm sick of the New World Order, you know, trying to take our guns, restricting our freedom of speech, conditioning our kids in the schools to say, you can't say that. You can't wear that. You know, it is disgusting, folks. And you know what? They say you can't build that either. But, folks, We need to take our country back. We need to revisit the founding fathers of who they were. We need to revisit who the people were back in the 1700s, 1773, 1774, 75, and 76. That's the attitude, the spirit of 1776, folks. That's the spirit you need. You need to swallow your conservative pride. You need to swallow your liberal pride, because we need to come together as one. Never mind your political parties, folks. We need to come together as one. I don't care if you're Obama supporter or Mitt Romney supporter, whatever. You need to drop that. Come together in the spirit of 1776. We need to take back our country, take back our liberties, and kick the UN out. It's like, you know what? We're not going to, you know, leave the Union. We're not opting out. We're kicking you out. Bottom line, we're sick of it. The people are sick of it. We got over 1 million people on the petition now. This is on record. Over 1 million people have signed a petition, and it's grown stronger and faster. And the mainstream media is ignoring this. They're putting this off as a side issue. But, folks, this is getting huge. And now what the mainstream media is doing is they're telling people, if you write your name on a petition, guess what? You're a racist. They don't want the race card on you to say you're a racist, even though you could be black, because there's tons of black people who signed that petition. You could be Puerto Rican, Spanish, white, whatever. Guess what? You're a racist. This is from mainstream media. You know, folks, we need to stand up against this. We need to stop this, okay? We need to say, you know what? Never mind the racist stuff. We're going to take our country back. Thomas Jefferson said, every generation needs a revolution. And this is the time, folks. This is the time, and the time is now. It's either go with the New World Order or build a new republic. And we are not, again, we are expressed, we are not calling for a violent revolution. We are calling for an information revolution, an information war against the globalists. And this is Dan Bedondi reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Welcome back. I'm John Baum. Joining me, a very significant report from Mr. John Rappaport, a veteran editor from NoMoreFakeNews.com, and also a veteran editor, Mr. Anthony Gucciardi from NaturalSociety.com, are joining us. And we're going to discuss the aftermath of Prop 37. But, you know, I want folks to know that this is not a laughing matter. It's not a small, minor detail in your lives. It's just going to go away. We're talking about GMO, and we're talking about our children's future, and we're talking about our very lives here and the fact that cancer is going to go way up. You're going to see all kinds of deaths due to very strange bleed-outs. From the website Institute for Responsible Technology, these are just some of the health risks of GMOs. GMO potatoes damage rats. Rats were fed potatoes engineered to produce their own insecticide. They developed potentially precancerous cell growth in the digestive tract, on and on and on. Let's see, mice fed GM BT potatoes had intestinal damage. Sheep died after grazing in BT cotton fields. Mice fed Roundup Ready soy, they had liver cell problems. You know, Roundup Ready soy chain cell metabolism in rabbit organs, and on and on and on, and that's going to be our future if we don't do something now. Now, a common fact that seems to have gotten by everybody, and it should be right up there in front, is that Europe has been labeling their GMOs since the 90s, and they, in 2004, they made even stricter precautions, regulations against GMOs in their food. So
why is there such a battle against labeling food here in America? Are we just the swine at the trough of the New World Order? Well, with that question in mind, let's go to John Rappaport and Anthony Gucciardi. Welcome to the show, fellas.
Thank you. Very good to be here.
Thanks a lot for having me. Always enjoy it.
This is great. Thanks for joining us. First, I want to start off, but let's go back to Prop 37. And John Rappaport can answer these questions about the voter fraud, the story behind the fraud, how the votes weren't even completely in yet, and they had declared Prop 37 dead.
That's right, John. In fact, it was very early on. I'm going to call it at about 7 million votes still uncounted at the time that the networks and television stations said, okay, no on 37 wins, and that's it. 37 goes down to defeat. So actually, I was watching an interview that Alex was doing with Bev Harris, and I caught her saying, you know, in California, typically, they call elections, but there are still a couple million votes left to count. So I decided, well, this would be interesting. Let's look into it. Had a heck of a time, but finally ended up calling four county registrars in the state of California and added up how many votes they had yet to count. Now, this was a couple days after the election, and I got 1.6 million votes. Then a couple of days later, I found out that the total uncounted votes for the state of California was 3.3 million. And they didn't have to be reported on until the first week of December. So I said, well, this is insane. I mean, you know, a half hour or an hour after the polls closed in California, like clockwork, all the networks said that 37 went down to defeat. But there are millions of votes left to be counted. So I began writing about this, and the more I wrote about it, the further down the rabbit hole I went. Because who's telling the networks? Who's saying it's time to make this early, premature call? Who's behind No on 37? I mean, as Anthony can, you know, document, the lies that were told by No on 37 before the vote even started were just enormous. I mean, felonies, we're talking about major felonies here. And they're backed up by the pesticide companies, by Monsanto, and so forth. And so I asked a simple question. If these companies want to control the food supply of the planet and patent all the food and own it, and the food is horrendously destructive to human life, do you think that they would hesitate at rigging an election? I mean, let's get real here. So I think we could start there.
Well, and that's a good point. Anthony, can you talk about the labeling, actually the use of the FDA label illegally that was used by...
No on 37.
Yeah, No on 37. And then the woman that was actually did the same thing, and she got 20 years, or she's looking at facing 20 years in prison, and what a $250,000 fine, and these guys didn't even get a slap on the wrist.
That's right. They went ahead and they not only misused the FDA logo, which is a felony, to support the No on 37, which once again is the anti-GMO labeling campaign that Monsanto and others put $45 million into, because they simply don't want you to know what is in your food. That's all it comes down to, profit. So they went ahead and they put on this FDA seal to this No on 37 anti-GMO labeling campaign brochure that they sent out to countless people. It was distributed everywhere. And it says, quote, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration says a labeling policy like Prop 37 would be inherently misleading. U.S. Food and Drug Administration, which is with its official logo there. So not only did they misuse the seal, which according to U.S. law is a felony, and can result in 20 years of prison, a $250,000 fine, 3 years of supervised release, so on and so on. But they actually went ahead and quoted an FDA quote that didn't exist, and it's also illegal for the FDA to back any of these campaigns. So if they said that, the FDA would be committing a crime in and of itself.
Even though, so, let me cut in for a second, even though the FDA, one of the chiefs of the FDA is former Vice President Monsanto.
Correct. So they actually can't take a stance on it. Of course, they have, not openly, through basically pushing through every single GMO there possibly is and teaming up with the USDA to give them speedy approval. But here it is, right? They put it right on there. Section 506 and 1017 says you can't misuse a government seal or else you'll get penalized. And unfortunately, in Idaho, well, not really unfortunately, this is a criminal woman, but she committed mail fraud. And she misused a federal seal, and guess what? She got hit. She's facing 20 years in prison, $250,000 fine, and 3 years of supervised release. And this is one woman in Idaho. So this really shows corporations are essentially exempt from the law. They can do whatever they want. They can misuse the FDA seal. Oh, it's no big deal. The FBI doesn't really care. You know, they'll send it over to the FDA, but nothing's going to happen. And it's already too late. Prop 37 already failed because of this misinformation, this vote rigging, so on and so on. But then this one woman who does it, I don't know how many times, but on a very small scale to try and use mail fraud, she gets hit with the complete book. Monsanto walks away completely free.
Yeah, and earlier, Rappaport was off camera. We were talking about Codex trying to push back what's going on in Europe. Here's from mercurynews.com. Monsanto, which is fighting efforts to label genetically engineered food in California, supported labeling such food in Britain. And they even ran a campaign ad about labeling food in Britain. And now you're saying that in Europe they're trying to push back the regulations.
Yeah, they are. Monsanto, you know, probably saw the handwriting on the wall in Britain. This is not any kind of, you know, humanitarian gesture on their part. It's kind of live to fight another day, find another way to do it. Or they've done many polls in England. I mean, that population is so hammered day in and day out that Monsanto probably figures that people just don't care. They're going to buy any food they can get anywhere, whether it's GMO or not. So they make it look like, oh, yes, we support labeling. But here in the United States, where the, you know, big money is, they don't support labeling. Absolutely not. And they'll fight tooth and nail to the bitter end. To follow up on Anthony's point, here's something else. The Department of Justice was notified in advance of the election that the No 137 campaign had committed felonies. The one that Anthony mentioned with the FDA seal. They also intentionally misled voters in California in the California Voters Guide, which is this sort of manual that's sent out to all voters in California, about ballot propositions and so on. That's another felony. So the Department of Justice gets this complaint, and what do they do with it? They refer it to the FDA on the matter of the FDA seal. Now, this is absolutely ridiculous. The FDA deals with food and drugs. They don't deal with somebody stealing or misappropriating a federal agency seal. So the DOJ is essentially saying to the FDA, well, what do you think about this? And by the way, take your time in getting back to us on it. You know, the election is only 3 days away, and by that time nobody will care. So the Department of Justice is complicit in this because they could have started an investigation immediately. The media would have reported it, FBI investigating department, investigating No 137 for felonies right before the election. This story could have come out. Instead, the opposite kind of story came out. And Anthony and I were both sitting in the press conference on the telephone when this insanity happened with reporters from mainstream attacking Yes on 37. Essentially for revealing the crimes of the other side. So the Department of Justice is way complicit in this. They could have really jumped right in here. Instead, they say to the FDA, well, you guys see what you think about this. Do you really think that No 137 is stealing your seal? And let us know whenever you feel like it.
That's a lot of money being passed around for No on 37. How much was it? $48 million?
$45 million.
$45 million to save us $400 a year is what they claimed.
And that's hilarious because they actually have been caught. Monsanto has been caught running slave rings in Argentina. They got busted for making them work excess of 14 hours a day, and they were only allowed to use their payment in the company's store, which probably meant a ton of GMOs. And if they left, they don't get paid. And this is also the company that's been blamed as the largest, one of the largest, if not the largest, contributing factor to the suicide belt in India, where a farmer kills him or herself every 30 minutes. A quarter of a million suicides in the last 16 years. Because what happens is they go in there and they say, hey, I got a great deal for you. You're going to make so much more money. And the farmer, who's in poverty already, doesn't really know how these things work. And they say, this sounds great. So they plant the GMO seeds and the yield goes down, decreased yields. And then they actually drink the very biopesticides that Monsanto gave them. And the Daily Mail calls it the genetically modified genocide. And it's just ongoing. So this company and many of its supporters and people backing No137, they don't care about your health, or else they would have done something by now. The whole thing about the saving $400 is a big joke.
Yeah, and you just wrote an article on the petition for Barack Obama as far as getting the FDA chief out of there. It's come down to this. You know, how long have GMOs been around? They've been around since the early 90s, right? They've been going in our food on a regular basis. We haven't known about it. There's really no telling how many GMOs I've eaten. You know, there's no telling how many. Well, you probably eat a lot better than I do, Gucci Hardy. But but there's no telling how many genetically modified organisms are in my body right now or in everybody else's body. There's no telling where we're headed as a race of human beings in the next 10, 15, 20 years. Are we already starting to see the cancer rates rise? Are we seeing autism, they're saying, might be linked to it? And these things you guys have covered many times.
Well, this is where the medical cartel comes in, John, because they're the cover story, see? They can say, well, we're doing research on the genes that actually cause cancer, and this is where the future is, and blah, blah, blah. It's all genetic, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, there's people dying of cancer all over the world from pesticides. And if people, let's say that the cancer rates are rising because of GMOs, you're not going to find out about it because the medical cover story is going to be, you know, like a blanket over this whole thing. Nobody is going to find out about it because the diagnosis, they're not looking for that kind of stuff. They're not funding research. Gee, let's see if GMOs are causing human illness. You're not going to find big grants being given to anybody to research this. So this can all fly under the radar. And as far as the medical people are concerned, they're never going to find it. They're never going to look for it. It's all going to be attributed to other causes. I wrote an article a little while ago just proposing, you know, imagine this. A kid is eating GM corn. And so the genes that have been inserted in the corn begin to provoke a tremendous inflammatory response in his body. And that response attacks the myelin sheathing around his nerve cells. And so now he starts throwing tantrums and he's depressed and then he's up and then he's down. He's up and he's down. And his mother takes him to a doctor and the doctor says this is bipolar disease. Now it gives him a couple of drugs like lithium and valproate that have life-threatening effects. But nobody's discovering that it was actually the GMO corn that caused this in the first place. This is how the medical cartel and these chemical pesticide GMO companies are in it all together. I mean, this is, you know,
we've been Nazi occupied. Too. Yeah, we've been occupied. I mean, they're basically putting a bunch of roach motels across the across the world, and that's we're all slowly walking into them, and we don't even know it. You know, we talk about eugenics here a lot, and it seems like eugenics might be this distant thing that slowly creeps in, but all you got to do is go down to your local grocery store to experience eugenics. I mean, we've reached a point in our American history where we've got to reconstitute, we've got to start over. We have murderers. We have outright murderers running things, and they're taking all the money from us. We've got Formula One in here today, paid with by our tax dollars. The guy that runs the thing is tax exempt, and he's part of this cartel of elite that are running the world. And it sounds insane, but that's what we're dealing with. It's that simple, people. All we've got to do is when your computer crashes, you go and you get the disks and you reboot it. We have the disks. It's the Constitution. What do you think of that?
Exactly right. And you talk about secession. I think we need to secede from this entire old health paradigm, too, as well, this medical paradigm that John was talking about. And people always talk about lifespan. You're talking about eugenics. People always say, well, our lifespan's getting higher and higher, and our rate of living is greater and greater. You look at the news, and in fact, in a eugenics lens as well, the lower income, less educated bracket, the lifespan is going down and down dramatically, and they say they have no idea what it is. Well, I'll tell you what, they buy the cheapest foods, which oftentimes are the most processed, contain the most GMOs, contain the most pesticides, contain everything. High fructose corn syrup, which contains mercury in it, as admitted by the Washington Post. And Alex talks about that a lot. You should Google it because guess what? Every time you're eating something that's processed and has high fructose corn syrup in it, you're dosing your brain up with mercury. And no one's even sure exactly how much. So it could be varying. And it's GMO almost 100% of the time. So it's a slow kill on these lower income families. And what they do is they'll have a test. Like they'll have a glyphosate, which is in Roundup, Monsanto's number one selling herbicide. And all the tests that say glyphosate doesn't cause X are funded by Monsanto. And what they do is they'll say, like John said, well, does glyphosate cause cancer? Okay, let's do a 10-day study. Oh, it doesn't seem to be causing any cancer. Well, they don't look at anything else. And then all the glyphosate studies that say it causes DNA damage, infertility, it goes on and on. Those aren't funded by Monsanto, and those are real, and no one talks about them. The whole thing about the GMOs linking to tumors, that's true. That's excellent study. But the fact of the matter is we don't need that. That blew up and everyone, you know, trashed on and everything like that. There's 30-plus studies that already show that glyphosate in Monsanto's Roundup and the Roundup-ready crops are already causing DNA damage and cancer and et cetera, et cetera. But no one wants to talk about those in the mainstream media. They just want to, you know, break down one study and assault it all day long or just ignore it completely.
Well, five corporations own the mainstream media compared to 50 in 1983. So it's game over for the mainstream media, and they're dying media. And I want to thank you guys for joining me today. Some great information. Is there anything else you want to add?
What about the
future of the Prop 37 movement? I see it's moving on to Washington now.
Yeah, well, they better watch out in Washington. They better look at vote fraud before this even starts. You know, people in Washington don't vote live anymore. It's unbelievable. There are no polls there. Everything is by mail. And you have to be postmarked by election day. And yet, these, you know, projecting companies like Edison Media Research that tell the networks when to call an election, they do exit polls. They did 1,493 phone calls in Washington on election night. And from that, they projected all kinds of winners in Washington. And the vote wasn't even over yet. You know, it's unbelievable. So they better watch out. But I just want to echo what Anthony said here. The secession movement is seceding from all this. It's seceding from the federal government. It's seceding from these cartels. And many people have already experienced this. Anybody who's into natural health has already seceded from a tremendous amount of society. So the next step in seceding from the federal government by the states, that's child's play once you get your health straightened out. So we're on the right road. I mean, that's it. Decentralized power through secession.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us, guys. And have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
I want to thank those fellows for joining us. That was a great interview. I had a lot of questions. A lot of them were answered. And we will keep an eye on the development as it continues because the movement has just begun as far as labeling our food. Can we just label our food? You put all kinds of labels on our food anyway. Can we just get something that tells us what's in it, just like they got in Europe? I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I don't want to eat food that's going to give me cancer. Now, if you want more information on what GMO is doing to you and your family, you can support us by going to the InfoWars store and picking up Genetic Roulette. And there's plenty of information. That's an excellent DVD. And it gets into some pretty scary stuff about how the BT corn gets into the lower intestines of the cows and basically starts eating its way through the intestine. And so what is that doing to us? Well, hopefully we're not going to find out. Hopefully we're going to change this. We're going to reconstitute this republic. We're going to join together, and we're going to make this happen because it's all we've got. You can also support us by going to PrisonPlanet.tv. You can pick up a subscription at PrisonPlanet.tv. And, of course, you can see the new DVD, Strategic Relocation, as well as our nightly news, our special reports, Alex's rants. And, of course, daily you can hear the rebroadcast or the live show of Alex on the radio. It's a very easy way to support us. From InfoWars Studio, this is John Bowne with the Nightly News signing off. Have a great weekend.